Have you read the book SEO Trot? What does SEO Trot mean? It's tortoise backwards. We can tell the Roald Dahl fans. And we were listening to a Roald Dahl film over the holidays, and I was half listening, and I heard a fantastic line in that film, that story, that book. Love is not love until you give it away. Until you give it away, love is not love. And I thought, how fantastic. That is so scriptural, is it not? God, of course, Jesus is the definition of love. He's the highest example, the highest form of love. And of course, Jesus gave his love for us. I was reading this week, actually, just a quick thought, that as Jesus was in the last night before he was going to be crucified, he told one of his best friends, Peter, that he was going to deny him 3 times. And Peter, of course, said, "Nah, I'll die for you. I'll die for you. I'll never deny you." And then Jesus goes into the Garden of Gethsemane and says, "I want to pray. Come with me." And he chooses 3 of his disciples. In that number, he chooses the person who's going to deny him, Peter. He says, "Come and pray with me." And Jesus goes and prays. He walks off and comes back and he finds them asleep. He goes back and prays again. And he comes and finds them asleep. And in the end, Jesus goes off. He's betrayed by one of his disciples, Judas. And Judas cuts off the ear of one of the attackers. And Jesus says to him, "Those who use the sword will die by the sword. I could call millions of angels to help me right now. Don't you realize that?" And at that point, his best friends all desert him. And it just occurred to me, Jesus carries on and dies for those very same friends who deserted him when he needed them most. Jesus, for me, is the highest form of love, and he gave it away. And I think we should do the same. Goodness is not good until you give it away. So, here's another philosopher. Have you heard of this guy called Bear Grylls? Hands up if you've never heard of Bear Grylls. Everybody's heard of Bear Grylls. Somebody who shall be nameless, pointed me to his writings. Bear Grylls is a fantastic Christian, and he writes some absolutely amazing stuff. And here's what he says about giving it away. Being generous is a key trait of happiness. Clinging on too tight to belonging, talent, or resources only drains people of joy. It's a thought, isn't it? If you're in the doldrums right now, have a think about giving away some of this fruit that God has put in your life. Another question. How many people like chocolate? Hands up, please. I'm not Angela. The rest of you, I can't believe you. So we've got some great chocolate fans. Do you remember do you know what a Rolo is? Do you remember the Rolo adverts? Who would you give your last Rolo? Let's just have a look at, remind ourselves. And challenge yourself. Who would you give your last Rolo to?
I'm with my friends all day. We just walk around. We are all the same. We just steal and inhale. That's basically my life.
Okay.
Hey, don't move! Nana!
If you wait, here we are.
Have you seen my cell phone?
Oh, yeah, it's... I'll get it for you.
Thanks, babe. Sorry, babe. I ate your last roll, though. I hope you don't mind.
It's fine.
Do you love anyone enough?
Can I have some water?
To give them your last roll, though?
Fruit is far more enjoyable if you give it away. And Galatians 5 tells us about the fruit, and we're up to the fruit of goodness that God has made available to all of us. But my argument here is that he has made the fruit not for us to keep it. I loved Andrew's illustration. Do you remember Andrew's illustration last week? He was making us feel very, very envious of his fruit. We had to sit there while he ate his fruit. For me, there's not quite scriptural. Fruit is meant to be given away, is it not? It's much more enjoyable if you give it away. Steve, come and have a fruit. Seedless, don't worry. Dave, have a fruit. A lot of people think, hope he doesn't call me. Andy, come have a fruit. John, how many did you take? Would you like a fruit? There you go. It's meant to be given away. John. Martin, come and have a quick fruit. Bear Grylls fan, Mr. Hoyle, come and have a fruit. Take a bow. Fruit is meant to be given away, is it not? Who are we going to give the fruit to? Well, there are many vulnerable people that Scripture paints a picture of for us. I'm going to give you a little epitaph of vulnerable people that are scattered through Scripture. As I give you a clue, I want you to raise your hand and tell me who I'm talking about. You ready? A baby abandoned by a river. By his mom. Who am I talking about? Moses. A dad prepares to sacrifice his only son up a hill, Mount Moriah. Hand up. Who am I talking about? A dad prepares, and who's his son? Thank you. Thank you very much. A widow leaves her own country to live in a foreign land. She doesn't know the language, she doesn't know the culture. Who am I talking about? A vulnerable lady. Three young boys, don't quite know their age, they're thrown in a furnace, isolated in a foreign territory because they refuse to bow down to foreign God. Who am I talking about? A vulnerable baby is born in Bethlehem. Ooh. How dare you ask us such a trivial question? Of course, it's Jesus. Vulnerable people are scattered throughout Scripture. But you know, we're all vulnerable. We are all potentially vulnerable. Vulnerable means, of course, that you're, to a certain extent, you can't control your own destiny. Other people are in control. When you sit an exam, somebody else is deciding your future. We hate vulnerability. Is that not correct? We don't like being vulnerable. Going on funny, this is a bit dangerous territory, but some people, let me give you a safe example. I have a cousin who was an airline pilot, and he used to fly people all around North America. And I went to see him a few years ago, And he took me for dinner on the Sky Tower. And we went, you know, on these towers just to kind of check them out. They often have glass floors where you can stand and see 200 feet below. And he took me and he said, let's go and have a look at this. And we saw little children in pushchairs rolling around on these clouds and, you know, not being afraid. And then we looked at each other. And I said, well, aren't you going to go and stand on this glass? He said, absolutely not. It's too high. I said, I'm not going to go. But I said, you used to fly people 30,000 feet. How can you not stand on a 200-foot glass plate? He said, because I'm scared of heights. When he's out of control, when he's vulnerable, suddenly his fear of heights kicked in. And we're all a little bit like that. We're all potentially vulnerable. It may be you feel vulnerable because of your situation. In January, I'd just been reading a couple of scriptures in the Bible, and I looked outside of my window, and hanging over Preston was this dirty, black, horrible cloud. And I thought, ooh, I know it's winter, but that's a horrible, what does it mean? Is it an ominous sign? Should I be packing up and going back to New Zealand? What could it mean? It may be that you have the equivalent of that in your life, and you're feeling vulnerable because this cloud is about to break over your life. And that's why you feel vulnerable. Or it may be that you're just fed up of having your prayers not answered. Have you been praying for something for a long time? Could be a relative, could be a situation, a job, and nothing's happening. Nobody's getting healed. God doesn't seem to be hearing your prayers. And you feel vulnerable. You feel abandoned. Well, do you know, one of the amazing things about Scripture was that our Savior, Jesus Christ, chose to leave his authority, his position, to become a vulnerable individual. He chose to take on that cloak of vulnerability that we despair of, we shun, we hate. He chose as his friends vulnerable people. He made a special effort with women and children who were most vulnerable in those days. And he died, of course, in that vulnerable situation on his own, abandoned by his friends. We live in a world where many vulnerable people are neglected and thrown by the wayside. Here's just a few stats. I'm sure you're familiar with them. 2/3 of people in India without a fridge. 6 million children under 5 die every day of starvation. 1 in 7 go to bed hungry. And worse still, millions of people are spiritually hungry. And it's so great that our young people, people like Jenny, people like Savannah, and others, have caught that vision, if you like, that spark from God, and is going out there to do their bit, to spread goodness into our world. So we have a God, we have a Savior who chose to be vulnerable, but we don't like it. But you know, there's some fantastic news, and that is our God cares so much for every single vulnerable person and non-vulnerable person out there. And it struck me that God demonstrates how much he cares for us in the minutest of detail. So Matthew 10 verse 6 has a remarkable statement, almost trivial really, in its his attention to detail. It says that God, Jesus, knows exactly how many hairs are on our head. He counts our hairs. And I thought about that, and I thought, wow. That means he knows, Steve, he knows exactly how many hairs are on your head. That's not difficult, I guess. Dave Brown, if he's here, he knows exactly how many hairs on Dave Brown's head. Andrew Gardner, what is it, 50,000? My case, 2,000? He knows the minutest details, and he cares that much. He counts the hairs on our head, and he cares for every vulnerable person that we might walk past. We've arrived at the third part of this session, and we're going to go back to the fruit in Galatians 5. God, you know what's remarkable? God has made available to us all the fruit that we need to care for the vulnerable, all the fruit that we need to live successful lives. If you ever asked yourself and done a spiritual check, are you growing in that fruit? That fruit that's available, is it developing? Are you getting more into the fruit? I hope you're all having the time of your life. Are you having a great time in life? I thought my wife was shaking her head then. I hope you're having a great time. If you're not having a great time, think about growing more in the fruit, developing more of these wonderful fruit that God has available to us. It's a sign of spiritual health. You want to know if you're spiritually healthy? Ask yourself, am I growing in that fruit? The goodness. Am I pouring more out? Does it feel natural? Perhaps it doesn't. And for many of us, if we're honest, we're not doing that and we're not content with where we are. It's not happening for us. And one of the reasons for this is that let's come back to this. If you're not happy with where you are, be honest with God. Look Jesus in the eye and tell him, Lord, I'm not happy with the fruit that I've got so far. Other things may be going on, but the fruit that we talk about, I'm not seeing it happening. Be honest, look him in the eye like a salesman did to me recently. I was about to walk off with a car he felt was not right for me. He sat me down, he looked in the eye and said, are you happy with that car? And I said, well, it's a car I can afford. He said, but are you happy with it? I said, it's the car I can afford. I've worked out my budget. He said, if you're not happy with it, I'm not giving it to you. And I would encourage you to do the same thing. Look Jesus in the eye in prayer and tell him whether you're happy with the fruit that's in your life. Because one of the problems we face and gets in the way of the fruit is that Galatians 5 is actually every day of our lives we're in a battle. Richard Dawkins wrote a treatise, a book, where he talked about the selfish gene that is in all of us. Within all of us is a selfish dimension that doesn't want to show the fruit of goodness. It thinks about self. Paul calls it the flesh. But on the other side, when you make the decision to become a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes in you and helps you to dominate, to kill the selfish gene of the flesh. And what Paul is saying here in 5:6 is that we need to be guided by the Holy Spirit and to overcome, that will help us overcome that selfish gene. So I would say to you, if you ever feel the Holy Spirit is prompting you to do something, just do it. Just do it. Many of us take a risk. We sometimes fall flat on our face because we've responded perhaps to something that we thought was the Holy Spirit. But, you know, if you don't, nothing ventured, nothing gained. If the Holy Spirit speaks to you, don't say, I need absolute confirmation. Just do it. Go with the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Seek advice. Seek prayer. Consult an older Christian just to double check. Look at the Word of God. Make sure what he's saying is aligned with the Word of God. And if you feel at the end of the day that is the Holy Spirit, don't let that selfish gene take that opportunity away from you. So goodness for me is expressed through us. It's through your speech, through your hands, through your feet, and it's motivated by love. Goodness isn't just a nice feeling that we have on a Sunday morning when we sing one beautiful hymns. It's action. It's a noun. It expresses itself. So this fruit that God is talking about, we're talking about in Galatians 5, is an action word. Now, you may say, well, you're talking about goodness, but you don't know anything about my background. You don't know what I've been up to this week. You don't know the problems that I've faced, the arguments, the hassles, the insults I've faced. But you know, the thing I like about when God talks about goodness is we have a situation where a murderer like Paul can become a bishop. That God can transform good situations into bad situations. He can transform bad people, into good people. In the last few months, I've sort of begun to see a few interesting things on Facebook, and I'm so proud of our young people. We can lose perspective quite a lot because we get focused on our problems. But if you look even in Preston, we've got two pictures here. One is from a non-photographer called John Duckett. I love John. John is a great guy because he has the courage to put up a very poor picture on Facebook. But his heart is tremendous. Seriously, John, you are a wonderful guy. God has got his hand on your life. But isn't that an awful picture on the left? But listen, it's not the picture that counts, it's the words. John has the courage to declare Genesis. God saw Preston and thought it was good. And then, just to show him how it was done, a few days later, you can't read that, his sister puts up a proper photo of skiing. And God saw that it was good. Sometimes it's just great to have that perspective. Even on a rainy day, the dirty cloud, you can look out at, like John, and see goodness in there. Let's pray for John's skills of photography. Can't have everything. Sometimes it's about seeing God's perspective, seeing goodness where other people might miss it. But the other thing is, as I said earlier, God has the ability in our lives to turn something that looks like a disaster, looks like a dark cloud, into something really brilliant and radiant. And here's an example in Scripture where we talked about Joseph's brothers, his own brothers, take and throw him into a pit and abandon him. And in looking back on his life, Joseph realizes that the thing that his brothers meant to harm him, God used it, transformed it to bless many, many people, to bring a good situation out of bad. And those of you that perhaps feel that there are dark clouds hanging on your life, that maybe God isn't answering your prayers, have a listen to what Billy Graham's wife said. If the Lord had said yes to all my prayer requests, I'd have married the wrong man several times. Sometimes God knows what he's doing. He knows, he always knows what he's doing. And even your unanswered prayers, God is working for good. And you know what? Back to Bear Grylls again. Some of those dark clouds, some of those pressure times that seem to be going nowhere, God sends to make us stronger. So every storm that you may be going through may not be a disaster, may not be God abandoning you. It may be God forming you into something great so that you can give goodness to the world. Wine, a diamond. God can use that pressure to make you stronger. And when I was looking out to the window, I was there for a few minutes. I noticed actually that dark cloud, which I thought was going to be there for a while, was actually slowly moving. And as I looked, I could see the trees burn. And I realized at that height, there was quite a strong wind. Wind that perhaps we don't like was actually moving that dark cloud away. And shortly after, that dark cloud had been transformed into a beautiful moonlit morning. And when I saw that, I was there just looking out the window, hoping my neighbors weren't wondering what the heck I was doing. I thought, wow, that's quite poetic. I could write a poem right now. I could write a song. And the problem is, I have no poetic skills. But it was fantastic to see how the picture of what God could do with our problems and does with our problems and our challenges. You know, in this church, I think we should give thanks for Fullwood Church. I don't know if you ever do that. Because every week, God is displaying his goodness in so many different ways. So many different ways. Some big, some small. Let me give you a small little example. On the 12th of February, it was my daughter's birthday. We walk her up. It was a school day. We walk her up. She wasn't that pleased to open her presents. And we gave her presents. But in her cards was a card from Energize. Energize had taken the trouble to write a card to one 11-year-old. And they do that, I'm sure, for every single 11-year-old. And they wrote some lovely words. As I drove my daughter to school that morning, she had a present. The only thing she talked about was this card from Energize. She wanted to know, how did Energize get that card to me? Because she wasn't at church the previous week. But more importantly, if you look carefully, there's a horse on that card. And my daughter is addicted to horses. And she wanted to know, how did they know I love horses? Somebody had gone to the trouble of finding, not only posting the card, but finding out what her interest was. And she will remember that. It's a small act of goodness, but a young child will remember that. Now, I thought, you know, that wouldn't be great if we were all part of Ignite. I want to be part of Ignite. I want to be part of the people like that. Steve, I'm resigning, and I'm going to join Ignite. You're disobedient. And that's just a small example of the kind of thing that God is doing through us. So let's get into this more and more. But there are other bigger needs. And I think as a church, we have the potential to really impact more in our society. We have such gifted people here. A few years ago, I did a men's breakfast on dads and how to be a good dad. The reason I gave the men's breakfast was not because I was a good dad, it's because I wanted to learn how to be a good dad. So I started looking into it. And there's some really tragic figures in our country about absent dads. Dads are useful, you know, occasionally. But we have, the statistics are, by the age of 16, nearly 3 million children in Britain no longer live with their dad. And 1 million other children never see their dad. It's something I think we need to pray about and to see whether we can do more about. What are the vulnerable people are there out there? You know, one of the things I think the greatest ways we can show goodness to in everyday life, if you ask me what is a principle for showing goodness tomorrow at work, showing goodness in my family life, showing goodness to my friends, I think a great principle is this. It's being able to see things from other people's point of view. Ask yourself, if you're a child, what is it that frustrates you most about your parents from time to time? They don't get it, do they? They don't understand. I've got some shakes there. You're too young, Peter. They don't understand. Ladies, what frustrates you most about your men? Sometimes they just don't get it. They don't think like a woman. Is that correct? They don't understand. Some nods there from Anne Marie. They just don't get it. And it's one of the greatest ways we can show goodness, as a general principle, is to try to see things from the other point of view. We're born like that, either way. Hands up. If you've ever had a baby that has sort of thought, well, I will not cry tonight because my parents want more sleep, please raise your hand. Is that a hand there? I don't believe you. Hands up if you ever had a son or daughter, be honest with me, who's one day, below the age of six, one day walked into their bedroom and thought, my bedroom's a tip, this will upset my parents, I'll tidy it up. It doesn't happen, does it? Because children are not born. We were never born with the ability to see the world from other points of view. It is something that develops, and it's a God-given ability that we need to develop and walk more in. If you're looking for opportunities to express the fruit of goodness, you're in the right place. There are many opportunities in this church that you know about. We've got missions in Rwanda, activity in India, Peru. We've got connections with Uganda. Lots of local opportunities. Celebrate Recovery, Cedar House, Samaritan Street, Pastor, food banks, just general listening, caring. There's loads and loads of ways. Many, many ways we can develop this fruit that God has given us. I'm going to leave you with one final thought. Who will you give your last Rolo to this week? Who will you give your last Rolo to? Will it be a neighbor? Will you pop round and just say hello or leave a bunch of flowers? Will you send an email to somebody you haven't seen for a while, just say, I'm thinking about you? Is it somebody perhaps who's not here today who thinks they'll never be missed? Is it a relative, a brother and sister who you've not been in touch with you for a while and you've assumed that they don't want to be part of your life, so you're not going to be part of theirs? Who would you give your last Rolo to this week? Let's bow our heads and pray. Going to sing a couple of songs and just give you an opportunity, if you'd like, to just talk to God, really, to talk to your Father, to talk to Jesus. If you feel there's a dark cloud hanging over your life right now and it's blocking out his light, you feel it's blocking your ability to see his goodness and to give goodness back, why not pray about it? Why not tell God about it? And you're welcome to come to the front and sit on the left-hand side and just pray there quietly. If you would like more fruit in your life, you're just looking at it and you're saying, there's nothing there really. It's all empty stuff. I'd like more of this goodness to be displayed through me by the Holy Spirit. If that's where you are, please feel free to come forward and just sit and pray, and somebody will come and pray with you. Or if you want, you've got an earnest desire to reach out to vulnerable people, perhaps through three pastors or just people that you're aware of, you know that God's planted in your heart a burning urge to reach out to those, to the vulnerable world, and you don't know how to go about it. You don't know where to make the first step. Why don't you come as well and just spend a few moments just kneeling and just telling God that this is the fruit that you feel would be right for you. Father, we thank you for the fruit of your Spirit. They are so good for us, and we just desire to have more and more so we can serve you better and better. We know there's a fantastic need in our church, in our schools, in our homes, in our streets. We just pray, Father, that we would be able to show this fruit and distribute this fruit, share this fruit that you've given us with so many more people that we meet every day and every week.